You are listening to an ADIS podcast.
My name is Kai Hübel. I'm a hematologist at the University of Cologne in Germany, and the focus of my scientific interest are the indolent lymphomas. I'd like to present you now a case of a patient with high-risk relapse follicular lymphoma. Let me start with some background information. Follicular lymphoma is the most frequent indolent lymphoma. In the majority of patients, follicular lymphoma is a chronic disease with a promising overall survival. However, it is important to realize that follicular lymphoma is a relapsing disease. That means response duration and survival shorten after each relapse. And this also means that patients may experience several treatment lines. It was possible to identify subgroup of patients who are associated with a poor outcome. For example, patients with an early relapse. We call this POD24 patients. That means a relapse in the first 2 years after the start of first-line therapy. Other high-risk features are a high metabolic tumor volume, double refractory patients, that means patients who are refractory to an CD20 antibody and an alkylants, patient with a Bielke disease, or patient with a FLIPI of 2 or higher. And these group of patients maybe need another or more intensive treatment approach. So let me now start with the case report. So this is a story of a patient in their early 50s. The patient was diagnosed with follicular lymphoma in the early 2010s and presented with third relapse. The patient complained of night sweats, fatigue, but was still capable of all self-care. However, it was not possible to go to work, and the ECOG was too. In first line, the patient received 8 cycles of R-CHOP, followed by R-radiation and rituximab maintenance. This is what I think is the standard approach. Immunochemotherapy is a standard regimen for first-line treatment. You may choose R-CHOP or R-bendamustine. We selected 8 cycles of R-CHOP. This was part of a clinical trial. The standard are 6 cycles of R-CHOP. And also, the majority of patients received 2 years of rituximab maintenance. In second line, the patient received rituximab monotherapy 4 times, followed by rituximab maintenance. This is, of course, not standard of care. This regimen was the patient's preference. Standard would be another immunochemotherapy or the combination of rituximab and lenalidomide, and we call this R-square. Our patient unfortunately relapsed during rituximab maintenance, and this means the patient is rituximab refractory. So in third line, we selected a combination of bendamustine and obinutuzumab. Obinutuzumab is another CD20 antibody. It's a little bit more potent compared to rituximab. And after 6 cycles of this combination, the patient received an obinutuzumab maintenance. And this was based on the data of the gadolinium trial. However, again, the patient relapsed during maintenance, achieved just a partial remission after irradiation, and so we switched to R-square. As I said before, R-square is a combination of rituximab and lenalidomide. It is nowadays what I think a standard treatment in relapse and refractory follicular lymphoma based on the AUGMENT trial. You may R-square in all treatment lines except first line. It is my experience that it is really effective and well tolerated. However, our patient did not respond following 3 lines of R-square. So in summary, our patient did not respond to fourth line therapy. The patient has no reliable chemotherapy options. It is not possible to repeat the CHOP regimen, and it makes not sense to repeat bendamustine. The patient is refractory to CD20 antibody like obinutuzumab and rituximab. And the patient has a high FLIPI, 4 points for stage, nodal region involved, ADH, and hemoglobin. So this is what I think a clear critical situation. And there was a discussion in our hospital how to proceed. Should we use a bispecific antibody or should we switch the patient to CAR T therapy? Well, both treatment approaches are really effective. But because of several high-risk features, we decided to proceed with tisa-cel, that means with the CAR T therapy. Tisa-cel was approved based on the ELARA trial. The ELARA trial is a phase 2 trial focusing on patients with relapse follicular lymphoma, and the trial includes all the patients with high-risk features. The progression-free survival for the overall population in the trial at 12 months was 67%. However, it was much higher for patients who achieved a complete remission. For this group of patients, the PFS at 12 months was 85.5%. The median duration of response, progression-free survival, overall survival, and time to next anti-lymphoma treatment were not reached. There's some concerns regarding the development of the cytokine release syndrome, CRS, or neurological events. The LARA trial, nearly half of the patients developed a CRS. However, no patient developed a severe CRS, that means a CRS grade 3 or higher. And just 3 patients developed a grade 3 or higher neurological event. High-risk subgroups are patients with POD24, high metabolic tumor volume, bulky disease, double refractory patients, or patients with a high FLIPI. And what you can see here in all of these situations, there is a really high overall response rate for high metabolic tumor volume, 75%. In all other situations, more than 80%. And there are also a really high number of patients who achieved a complete remission. Unfortunately, we have no head-to-head comparison between T-cell and other treatment approaches. So it could make sense to compare the data of the LARA trial with data from the registry, for example, the Record FL chart review. In this registry, patients were recorded, were treated out of a clinical trial. That means real-world data were collected. And of course, you cannot easily compare both data. There was a matching performed based on baseline characteristics. And finally, 99 patients from the Record FL registry were compared to 97 patients in the LARA trial. And again, these patients have the same baseline characteristics. And the overall response rate was 85.6% in the LARA trial compared to just 63% in the real-world setting. And there was also significantly higher CR rate in the LARA trial compared to the Record registry. So again, T-cell was associated with an improvement over standard of care in CR and overall response rate after weighted adjustment for baseline variables. What is with the survival? The median progression-free survival and event-free survival was not reached for T-cell recipients in the LARA trial. However, it was just 13.1 months for usual care patients in the Record FL registry. The overall survival at 12 months was 96.6% for T-cell compared to 71.7% for the patient in the registry. That means T-cell demonstrated superior efficacy versus the standard of care in patients with relapse and refractory follicular lymphoma. Please keep in mind, this was an indirect comparison. This was a retrospective comparison with retrospective data. And in the registry, there were no modern treatment recorded, for example, patients who received bispecific antibody. So these are clear limitations. The median time to next treatment, overall survival and progression-free survival or event-free survival were not reached in all situations for the patient in the LARA trial. For 24 months, time to next treatment, overall survival, progression-free survival and event-free survival, there was a clear advantage favoring the use of T-cell compared to standard of care. So back to the patient. The patient has undergone T-cell therapy, and overall, the patient responded well. The patient had no severe side effects, is still in remission 6 months after CAS, and what is, I think, very important, has a possibility to return to work. Before CAR T-cells, the patient had enlarged lymph nodes. 3 months after CAS, the Deville score was just 2. That means the patient became PET negative. So in summary, this case report highlights the effectiveness of CARs in relapse or refractory follicular lymphoma. This is just a case report. That means that the results may be difficult to replicate. But I think it's a very, very nice example how effective are CAR T-cells in high-risk follicular lymphoma. The question is, would earlier treatment with CARs be beneficial for this patient? And I think, yes, T-cell is approved after 2 relapses. So what I recommend is to use in such a patient T-cell after 2 relapses instead of bendamustine and obinutuzumab. And the final question is, what is with the future of CAR T-cells? Would it make sense to use it in earlier treatment lines, for example, in first relapse? I think yes. For example, patient with a POD24, as I said at the beginning, have a poor outcome, and it really makes sense to analyze if CAR T cells are effective in this situation, and the trials have already started. Thank you very much for your attention.
You are listening to an ADIS podcast. You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS podcast with your preferred podcast provider or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements, please read the article on the journal website.